debt. You got to go to bed thinking about it. You wake up thinking about it. Here's the truth. The system traps you in debt. High interest credit cards and loans make it nearly impossible to pay off your debt. And don't forget insane inflation. That keeps you stuck paycheck to paycheck. Done with debt is your lifeline. Done with debt has an ingenious new strategy to help you erase your debt faster and easier than you ever thought was possible. Done with debt analyzes all the debt options you qualify for. They know how to reduce your bills. They know how to get interest rates cut. Their skilled staff of negotiators know how to get the debt out of your life permanently, without bankruptcy and without a loan. Done with debt are the experts in brilliant strategies for eliminating debt. But you need to hurry because some debt solutions are time sensitive. So here's how easy they make it. Go to donewithdebt.com. That's donewithdebt.com. Again, donewithdebt.com.
Turn around, I wanna see. Do it look like how I look on IG? Bad from every angle, she got herself a trainer. I know that nigga can't help but take a little peek. Cold world and Folar and co-starring. We both flexing, Bo Jackson's, Bo Garden. These cap niggas that rap with piss po jargon. My latest whip, my latest chick was Bo Foreign. I know all my hoes miss me. I've been the shit since I hit elementary. She know who run it, the one that keep it 100. To find a better nigga, you gon' have to live a century. Evidently, the coach can't bench me. The franchise player, I don't know how to miss. And they can't buy a layup, I'm anti with they are. I can't take my eyes off your pants, I swear. Girl, you shining like a damn Montclair. I'm thinking we should dip like the camera in air. If you the big stepper, I'm the landmine here. That's the one they know they can't come near.
I just wanna see if you gon' lie, you gon' love me. I was getting bras way before I got the money. Honey, since I've been a star, they don't love me. The ceiling got stars when the star got no ceiling. Stick it out,
stick it out,
poke it out,
poke it out,
stick it out,
stick it out,
poke it out,
poke it out.
Hey, yeah, she got a little bus, so up. Big back, she can show enough. Stick it out,
stick it out,
poke it out,
poke it out,
stick it out,
stick it out,
poke it out,
break it down,
poke it out. Welcome to the program. Haven't done this one in a while. Should be interesting to see how it goes.
Feels like forever.
I know. It's been 2 weeks. 2 weeks too long. I mean, I used to do this show 3 times a week. And then it got reduced to 2. And then 1. And then last week, I was in California hanging out with my pops, going to a wedding solo, which ended up being fucking lovely. I think I now prefer going to weddings alone. Like, at first, I remember how paranoid I was.
I know
was.
You are. I didn't know why.
Let me tell you why it's a better move to go by yourself. Because then you can really fucking just go talk to whoever.
Yeah, you're not with... Because if you're with somebody, you're going to talk to them most of the time because you know them.
Right. And usually if you're bringing a plus one... they may not know the person who's getting married, so you're constantly having to go, oh, this is so, you know, this is this the person that's attached to my arm,
right?
And you have to kind of babysit. That's the thing, is that you think the plus one is for you so that you have somebody to talk to, but then at the end of the day, it's really you're babysitting them and trying to help them into conversation. It was really freeing to fucking just rent a car, thanks to Bubba and the crew. I really appreciate you guys. Mm-hmm. I could not believe how expensive it was. It was like $175 and I had it for, 6 hours in my possession, I'm saying. Obviously, I just drove it an hour there and an hour back and that was it. But
damn.
Yeah, crazy. So, but anyways, that covered that whole cost. So that was great. But it was so cool to just go at my leisure.
I have to go turn the audio down. Let me turn that up way too high.
Okay.
I'll be back.
All right. Oh, it's really hot. Sorry. I'll turn it. I don't want to. Is this better, guys? Ugh. Poor Blitz. I don't want to blast your ears off.
Yeah. I mean, that's good. Unless you want me to go turn it down in there.
Oh, like, is this okay? Okay. So we're good like that?
Yeah, it's probably fine.
Okay. Is it, guys, talk to us. I don't want to be.
That's good. I'm looking at the levels.
It's a little overmodulated.
Yeah.
But we're good?
Yeah.
All right. They're saying it's too tinny. Do you want to go just fix it?
Yeah, I'll just go turn it down.
All right, he's gonna go turn it down. It was just really nice to go at my leisure by myself. I didn't have to hurry anybody along, didn't have to force anybody to get ready. I woke up at fucking 5 a.m. because and we'll talk about my sleep and how I'm having problems with it. Like a fucking child. Like a child. Like when you have to put your kid down to sleep and they won't go to sleep and they're going through a phase. I'm going through a phase at fucking 34 and a half. It's a problem. And I'm open to suggestions. I'm not opposed to drugging myself. in full disclosure, I have been taking stuff to sleep better because for some reason I lost all my sleep confidence, but neither here nor there. California did not sleep very well. Is that good? Can I turn it up a little bit here? All right. So we're good?
Yep.
Perfect. So I just leave whenever I wanted to, which was great. And then when the party was over, I didn't have to collect anybody. I didn't have to pull anybody off the dance floor. I just went, now's a good time to go. Bye. And then I just left. And it was awesome. And it was a great ride up there. There was a little bit of a problem with the traffic. At first, I was scared I was going to miss the entire ceremony. But thankfully, everything subsided. I was speaking to my mom, who I was unable to see as I passed her exit. Like, I came across. She lives in California. I'm in Florida. I fly across the country. I'm now driving by her exit, talking to her on the phone, and I can't see her. It was, here's the thing, like, that would have bothered me, say, 3 weeks ago, but at a certain point, you just go, it is what it is.
Well, is it like, it's like when, because we've talked about it on the show a bunch before you went out there.
Yeah.
And then when we came back, it seemed like nobody remembered the 25 times we've talked about it.
Right.
Well, at that point, you're like,
I mean, that's what I said. We talked about it ad nauseum.
I know.
But, you know, my mom wasn't comfortable with it because she trusts her doctor, and her doctor was the one that, like, operated. I don't know if it's her surgeon or general health practitioner. I'm not quite sure who was giving her this advice. I think it was collectively, like, all of them, and they saved her life, so she trusts them, which I get.
Yeah.
Like, someone takes you through an open heart surgery successfully, you're going to listen to what the fuck they're saying. I get it.
Sure.
But was she going to listen to them, or is she going to listen to her grad school dropout daughter who makes dick jokes for a living? I get it.
Yeah.
I get, in terms of, like, who do you have confidence in?
Mm-hmm.
But I was, like, giving her lists of questions to ask her doctor.
Right.
Which just really pisses them off.
Oh, yeah. They,
like,
hate that.
Yeah. My daughter, and then they would have, like, I know my mom would, like, have a laugh. She would go, my daughter, who lives in Florida. And then I could hear the physician's eyes rolling. You know, he's like, oh, say no more. Those anti-vaxxers.
Well, it's like when a fan, and I don't mind it, but, like, a fan will message me, like, we'll be talking about something on, you know, oh, well, hey, did you check this setting? Well, yeah, duh.
Yeah, telling you who's the engineer.
Yeah.
He's been doing this since he could crawl.
I don't mind, because every now and then, like, it doesn't happen often, but every now and then someone says something. I'm like, oh, you know what? That might make sense, or it triggers something else. So it's like, okay.
Or you do something dumb, like, you know, my cock or something like that. Got that. That was fucking funny. Well, we got to find that clip and post it somewhere.
I haven't seen it yet.
But if you don't know what we're talking about, during the Hot Mic segment with Jay, he asked who was opening. He asked chat who's opening for the Rolling Stones, who he's seeing tonight. And someone wrote Mike Hawk. And Jay was like, oh, Mike Hawk, is that someone new? And he's like asking me. And here's the reason why I ruined the bit is because I thought Jay was trying to fuck with me.
Yeah, he's like, yeah.
He's like Mike Hawk.
Obviously, Jay knows what he's saying.
And I'm just like, Jay, shut up. And he's like, what? Who's Mike Hawk? Is he new? And I was just like, Jay, shut. Seriously, stop.
Yeah.
And he's just like, my cock. Like, he just kept yelling it. I'm like, what the hell's going on? But yeah, you guys, that was really, really funny. That made my day. But anyways, I'm driving to this wedding. I'm thinking I'm going to miss it. I'm talking to my mom. As I'm speaking to my mom, she's a good luck charm. The time of arrival is going down significantly.
Mm-hmm.
I made it there. I think I sat down, and then maybe 4 minutes later, like, they start bringing people out to do the 10-minute ceremony. Like, it was perfect.
Oh, that's awesome, yeah.
Like, it was just absolutely perfect. I walked in, some girl with, like, huge, huge jugs, like, says, hey, does this look okay? I just pinned this before I left. Like, doesn't know my name, nothing. It was kind of like two chicks, like, bonding.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, you're good. It looks great. You're tucked in. Everything's good. So then I sat next to her, and she was kind of like my buddy for the wedding.
Oh, that's cool.
She
was by herself?
She was, and she was a cousin, which was a little confusing because she was, like, Mexican, and my friend couldn't be whiter. Like, she had literally white hair. Like, she's so blonde. She lightened it a little bit, but she has, like, very, very, very blonde hair. Like, her roots are white and blue, big blue eyes. And then this woman had, like, dark skin, dark eyes. She's like, yeah, Jackie's my cousin. I'm like, have you guys seen each other? Like,
my marriage.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Yeah, so... it was great. It was a lot of fun. No church, anything related. So I appreciated that very much and connected with some old friends and had some drunken conversations. I did offer up hosting to some people, and I texted some of them the next day. I'm like, yo, like, I really meant that. Like, come out and visit me. It'll be a good time.
Over to here hosting the
Okay. Yeah. Like, I have some friends and they were saying how sick of San Francisco they were. I'm like, of course. It's a prison. You live in a fucking prison. It's actually worse than prison because there's shit, literal shit, all over the street. You can't go out anywhere. You can't do anything. I'm like, come visit me. Right. Come visit, you know. Because even they now have entered the exhausted. Like, I was exhausted week three, but a year and a half. Even my sister is like, enough, you know, they're just, you know, my friend that came to visit a few months ago, she was very much like, you got to protect and yelling at me. She got fucking vaccinated. She doesn't give a fuck. Zero fucks. You know, she'll open mouth, tongue kiss you. It doesn't even matter anymore. So she's gallivanting around like a wild animal, which is great. I'm glad to see people are happy. But one of the most significant parts of my trip home to California was hanging out with my dad and his very wealthy friend.
Okay.
And I know we kind of detailed this on, I think it was Monday, but my dad has a very wealthy friend who's even older than him, I think, maybe 67, 68.
Okay.
I don't really know how he made his money. I did inquire, but I don't even think my dad knows. I don't know. He's got like a beachfront property, and that's like one of his houses. It's got to be at least a couple, like 3 milli for that one, and that's just his, you know, beach house. He's got a few others. But anyways.
Maybe he DJs shows in Miami because apparently you get paid $10 million a show.
Ugh, I fucking hate you. Okay. Listen, sometimes I'm a little off base. You know, it happens. Sometimes I don't really know the going rate for shit. And you just blurt stuff out because, listen, what kind of business are we in? The show business. I'm like, they make $1,000 million, which is $1 billion. I don't fucking know. Anywho. He married this woman last year.
Okay.
Who was younger than me. So I think there's a 35-year age difference between the two.
That's great.
And hopefully my dad is, if he is listening, he obviously won't share this show with him.
Okay.
But it is, it's an interesting situation.
Well, you said that she seems very appreciative of what she has, right?
No.
Oh.
Not at all.
Oh.
This camera's showing me something weird, but it looks
like
it's okay.
You're fine. Yeah, you're fine.
Yeah, she seems to be. Here's the thing. My dad was like, even if she was a gold digging whore, if she was just nice about it, everything would be fine.
That's what I said.
If she was just nice about it, and she seemed. I don't think she would score very high on the agreeableness spectrum.
Okay,
you know,
okay.
She seems like she's pretty disagreeable. She seems like she likes to start fights for the sake of starting fights, which, to be honest with you, I don't get it, not because I'm the most agreeable person, but because it's just exhausting.
Right.
To fight I understand fighting the big fights, but to fight every fight is fucking exhausting.
Yep.
And I mean, when they first started dating, she was given like an allowance, like a baby, like a child.
Nice.
I don't see how that builds confidence in women. Maybe I'm doing something wrong, but I feel like if I had a man who was just provided me with everything and I didn't have to do jack shit, I don't know. I don't think that would be good for my confidence. I don't think that would make me feel like an independent, capable adult.
He doesn't want that.
I get it, but I'm saying her psyche. If I, as a woman, if I had met a rich guy and he just did everything for me and I didn't have to do jack shit,
right?
I don't think that would be very good for like my self esteem because then I feel like a baby.
But
and I do act like a child, but I don't want to be treated like one.
But you have to realize though, a lot of women like that's like a not maybe like a dream scenario. Like that's
I know
they,
I get
they
it.
Think that's how it should
totally
be. Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not trying to say that there's anything wrong with that, but. I don't like, I can't, like, me with my brain, I cannot fathom being with a guy. And I'm not saying I want to date a poor guy. I'm just saying if I had a guy who's like, I don't want you to work, I don't want you to do anything, just, and here's the thing, they don't have children together. She has 3 kids from a prior marriage, and this guy's taking care of those kids because he has tons of money. It's no big deal for him.
Right, right.
And they only have him, like, part time because she has shared custody with her ex.
Right.
So it's just an interesting situation.
Now, do you know, did her ex have money?
Not like this guy. I don't think so.
Okay.
So it must be really fucking weird for the kids to live like in a 1-bedroom apartment like 1 week and then a mansion the next week.
Right.
So it must be just kind of a trippy situation for them. But I don't think that I would feel like a confident independent person. Like, listen, I have no problem with gender roles. I don't give a fuck what you want to do. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so funny because, like, I hear, like, people on the show say technically misogynistic stuff, and I've had people reach out to me and be like, how do you just let them say anything I say is not going to change anybody's mind. Like, I don't give a fuck. And me feeding into the stereotype that women get upset about shit is not helping the case.
You're
actually making it worse.
It would make it a lot worse.
If like Bubba said, like, oh, women take everything too seriously and they're super sensitive. I'm like, no, we don't. Don't say that. Like, that's not really helping. You just go, whatever. I don't give a fuck. Like, think whatever you want to think.
You blow it off and let it go on. And then it usually ends,
like, you know, the fact that Dan never changed a diaper, or he never got up once to, you know, if a kid was whiny or whatever. Like, whatever. I don't give a fuck. Everybody has their situation. Yeah. Do your thing. I don't care.
On that trip back from Fort Walton, he was so excited to pump gas because he had never pumped gas on that car yet.
Wow.
Because I told him I was like, the fuel door's kind of crappy. He goes, I've got to be honest. He goes, I've never put gas in this car, so I have no idea.
Is it on the driver's side? So he was excited. Listen, that's cool. It must be fun for, like, ultra wealthy people to pretend like they're poor. It's actually fun for them. I worked with a man. Hold on.
Oh, yeah.
Worked with a man. I'll just say his name. I don't give a fuck. Ben Swig.
Okay, yeah.
The Diakas know him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you're familiar with rich people in Tampa, the DeBartolos, another Italian empire.
Right.
Way richer than the Diakos. I mean, this is like next. We're talking adding three more zeros to the equation.
Which side?
Yeah. So the DeBartolo family, one of them, Ben Swig married one of the DeBartolo women, whatever. Yeah. Yeah. So he's got a lot of money. I worked with him at the Bone, and he would just come in for fun. He had like a brokered show because that's what, you know, rich people do, mm-hmm. and Justin Clark. And he would come in and we had like a little, what do you call it? Like a snack kiosk, I guess. And you would just pick something up and then you scan your credit card, whatever. And he loved eating like a poor person. He was like, ooh, like top ramen. Like, it was like he was camping.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In a huge corporate building. Right. He was like, oh, it's not gourmet. And he's like, he would be like, this is so fun to pretend to be poor. I'm like, you know, Ben, the food you're eating is sometimes what, like, the only food people can afford. He goes, I know, but just fun. Ooh, Oreos. Like, cute. Like, you know. But so I think for rich people to pretend they're poor for like a night is like us going camping.
Yeah.
Like roughing it for like one night, like sleeping in a trailer or something. Sure. You're like, ooh, cute. But you don't want to be trailer trash. Like, you don't want to live there.
No.
It's a choice. That's the difference. Mm-hmm. It's a choice. But yeah, so California was fun. It was a little bit like, I don't know. I mean, it's a lot to like fly across the country, and you know, when you're poor, you have to have 4 or 5 hour layovers, and then fly all the way back.
Bad.
The first one was a bit much. It was like ended up being 5 hours and stuck in Miami, which makes you feel worse because I actually went out of the way.
Yeah, you went the wrong way.
Yeah, which and fucks with your mind.
And
like,
it felt like you weren't in America.
Yeah, it really didn't. I mean, a woman asked me for directions in Spanish, and I went, no.
Last time I was one of the times me and Bubba went down there for a race down there. Like, we literally stopped at McDonald's at nighttime and none of the employees spoke English at all.
Yeah.
Like, we had to like point, we went to the drive-thru. Mm-hmm. They couldn't understand us at all. So we had to drive up and like point at what we wanted.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Cuba, you know, which is fine.
Yeah.
I really like the vibrancy of Miami. I think that I'll always have a soft spot in my heart for it. And it was weird. When I was in grad school in Detroit, we took a trip down because there was this massive conference that they have every year. Mm-hmm. I think the year prior.
Festival, we got it.
Yeah, it was called the HBES, Human Behavioral Evolutionary Science, something like that.
Okay.
And usually they have it in like a really shitty city, like Des Moines or something. Almost said something.
Des Moines.
like a shit city that no one cares about. But the year that I was able to go, it was in fucking Miami. And I don't think I had ever been to Miami before. So I was so excited. And to go from Detroit, which is such like a, is the word like drab, like dull?
Oh, yeah.
You know, where what time of year was it?
I think that's what I was going to say.
I'm pretty sure it was, God, I don't know. August, September, like a nice time of year.
I would say so. It was getting ready to turn shitty, though.
Yeah, it was just uncomfortable, and just there's not a lot of vibrancy to Detroit. I'm sure there was, like, during Motor City days and shit.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Detroit has really been a shithole since the 70s. I didn't know that. I thought it was more of, like, a recent 2008 thing, but no, it had been in a shithole for, like, 50 years by the time I was living there. So, I go on this trip to Miami that we had been planning for, like, 9 months.
Okay.
Holy fuck. I mean, that trip was so monumental in my life for so many reasons. The first being, it was the moment I realized I can never be in this career as a researcher. Because I remember telling myself, I felt so uninspired and so unmotivated in grad school. And I thought, well, maybe if I go to the biggest conference, like, this is our Olympics, you know, this is the World Cup of evolutionary biologists, you know, whoop-de-doo, there's only like 400 or 500 people in the world that study this shit, but whatever. There were some big names there. Steven Pinker, if you know who that is. No, Noam Chomsky, I think, was there.
Okay.
He was like a cultural anthropologist.
Yep.
Whatever. So I'm thinking, you know, big names. David Buss was there, who's like this hottie, fucks all these like young people. He's super tall, handsome, whatever. So I hear about all these names. They're like superstars in the field. And I go, if I go to this thing and I don't feel motivated and inspired, then I know that this is not for me. And I built that up in my head for months.
Okay, okay.
I said, okay, but go to, I kept saying, wait for HBest. Like, wait for HBest. Maybe you're going to go and you're going to get this, like, spark of energy and be like, this is exactly where I should be. This is exactly what I want to do. I went, and I remember seeing, I was listening to one of the talks, and I couldn't care less.
Uh-oh.
And during that talk, I was speaking with another girl I actually went to undergrad school with, and we met up. You know, she was doing grad school, I think, in Miami.
Okay.
We meet up, and she's like, you know, there's this app. And I'll never forget, there's this app, you swipe on guys.
I'm okay.
Like, what? She's like, yeah, like it's like dating. I'm like, isn't that kind of dangerous? She's like, nah, it can be. But she's like, you swipe on it. I'm like, what is it called? She goes, it's called Tinder.
Mm-hmm.
And we're having this conversation. I'm like, during the lecture that I'm supposed to be so inspired by, like in awe of this guy who's been researching for 50 years. He did, I think, stuff with the Yanomamo or Yanomamo in fucking Brazil. He gave him peanut butter and they thought it was like dog shit. So he's telling this like funny story about, you know, researchers are fucking losers.
Mm-hmm.
So they're telling like this story. People are kind of laughing. I'm like half listening. And this girl, Leanna, was just like, yeah, it's called Tinder. And I'm like, what? I'm like, I couldn't like understand the concept. She's like, let me show you. She's like, you literally just, you like him, you don't like him. And then she's like, look, I matched with this guy. And then now you can chat with him. I'm like, you could just talk to hot guys like from the comfort of your living room? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, this is life changing. And I will never forget that. And then I've been off the races.
I'm so glad she didn't tell you about Second Life at the time.
Yeah, that would have been bad.
You'd still be at home.
I would still be at home. But all I did that trip, my best friend from California came to visit me.
Mm-hmm.
And we got fucked up 4 nights in a row.
Okay.
And just drank. And, you know, we went out a few times. Pretty sure we were, you know, hitting up guys, talking to guys. And
yeah,
I could not.
Rides.
Yeah, that was fucking stupid. Anyways, I don't have to get it. That was one of the dumbest moments of my life.
We've talked about it before.
But yeah, so that trip was so monumental because like I could not give a fuck. I could not care less about going to this conference. Mm-hmm. It was actually getting in the way of me getting fucked up, which was annoying me. I'm like, oh God, my friend Michael's giving this talk. I feel like I need to support. So I'd just be like hungover, like, oh, great. Why is he talking so loud? And I remember, when I flew home and I just said, it's over. Like, do I just not go back to Michigan? I had only completed a year. Like, I was really having those conversations.
Right.
Because I'm like, well, this is 100% not going to work out. And I remember speaking to when my grandma was still alive, I was in her home. I was talking to my friend Jess, who was living in Germany at the time. And I said, the life plan that I had set for myself is not working out. I do not know what I'm going to do with myself.
Hold on, that was a year into being in Detroit?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and you stayed there for 3 more years?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I got caught up in radio there, you know?
Right. So had you done any radio before the Miami trip?
Yeah. I was working, I just was doing like this like random show in at the college. So I was looking for a hobby.
But you were doing something. I mean, you.
Yeah, I had done it, and I did one live show, and that was the moment where I'm like, ooh, that was really fun.
Okay.
Because it was really funny because I wanted to do, I had my own show, but it was like a music show, mm-hmm. pre-recorded, and it would air at like 2 a.m. on a Tuesday. Like, no one was listening.
Right, but you were.
I did one time, but for like 5 minutes, and I'm like, I got to go to bed.
Oh.
And I was like, well, this is kind of lame, but whatever. And I was so insignificant that when I stopped going, no one said anything. Like, no one was like, hey, where's all? Like, no one. But they asked me to come in because someone, like, canceled or something, and they needed someone for a dating show.
Okay.
And it was me and, like, three guys who were, I mean, I was 26 at the time.
Right.
I couldn't even get into a bar with these guys. Like, I was like, where are we going to go? They were, like, 18 and 19 years old.
Jesus.
So I do this thing, but it was live. It was kind of salacious because I was asking them questions about, like, I asked them, like, what their favorite food was. And then I was like, so what kind of porn do you watch? Like, it was, and they were super uncomfortable, which was making me giddy.
Yeah, yeah.
So I went, oh, shit, that felt right. That felt great. And then that's when I, you know, after the Miami trip, I go back to Detroit. And that's when I got an internship at the Riff.
Yeah.
So, but it was that Miami trip where I was just like, I thought, first off, I got to get to Florida. Like, I was like, I got to get to Florida. Again, this is in 2013, so it's 3 years before I even moved here.
Oh,
I was
okay.
Like, I got to get to Florida. Like, this is where the fucking action is.
Right.
I liked it because I didn't have any family there, so I couldn't, like, lean on anybody for support, which weirdly is attractive to me.
Okay.
Because I kind of like the adventure of, like, ooh, am I going to make it or am I going to die alone? Like,
right.
Looks, we all know where that's headed. But I liked the fact that no one had kind of traversed that land in my family so they could, I would have, like, a cousin to hang on or something.
Right.
It was a completely new adventure. So I was like, I got to go to Florida. I don't know anybody there. And that sounds so weird, but after you move to five cities by yourself, it's kind of fun. You're just like, yeah, I know I could do it. I've done it five times before.
Mm-hmm.
Moved to Australia, didn't know anybody. Moved to Santa Barbara, I didn't know anybody. Moved to fucking Detroit, didn't know anybody. Moved here, I didn't know anybody. So I was just like, it's just kind of what I do every few years. And I was like, I got to get to a place where I don't know anybody and the weather's awesome. Yeah, that sounds great. So Tampa just kind of fell into my lap. I'm like, well, that's kind of close to Miami, or at least closer than Detroit. So I still feel like as at the end of my life, I will end up in Boca Raton. Like, that will be my final destination.
Makes sense.
Where Jews go to die.
Yeah.
Makes sense. A1390 Bubba. So I don't even know where I was going with that, but grateful for that trip. Grateful that it didn't work out. Grateful I learned about Tinder during Noam Chomsky's bullshit talk about God knows what.
That you were like hoping you'd actually care about?
Yeah. It's just so funny because I remember thinking, like, you can't make a final determination about this career path unless you go to HBAS. And if you're not inspired, then you... Because there's no... It's like there's nothing above the Olympics. There's nothing above the World Cup. If that doesn't excite you, then you're fucking done.
Right.
And it didn't excite me at all. I really couldn't have... I'm like...
Imagine how miserable you'd be at this point.
Ugh. I mean, I there's no way I would be able to succeed at all because I'm like, what's the payoff? If the payoff is like you get this rush of dopamine and you're like, yeah, and all this energy, then great. Mm-hmm. But if there's no payoff, I'm like, what am I doing this for? And I thought that the people giving these talks, I'm like, you studied that for 6 years and collected data? I'm like, that's not even fucking interesting.
Right.
Like, it might be interesting for the first week.
Yeah.
But then when you're crunching numbers and asking survey questions and then you have to go through 10 different iterations of something so it gets approved by the IRS, which is like, you know, make sure everything's ethical and you're just, by the time that the study even comes where you can even do the study,
you're
like, I'm fucking over it.
Yeah.
So grateful to that did not work out. 81390 Bubba. I did go to the gym for the first time yesterday in a long time. I felt like a soft pillow.
Yeah.
But I'm a little bit sore, feeling good. I've recently, and I know that you had kind of like a similar fear. We were scared of the free base squat rack.
Okay.
Yeah, I know that you said you had an accident that traumatized you for years.
Yes.
I've never had such an accident, but I was paranoid that like I would reach like muscle failure and I would either embarrass myself or hurt myself really badly.
Mm-hmm.
So I relied on the Smith machine.
Yep.
Me too. For years, and then finally, like literally 3 weeks ago, I was like, enough.
Yes.
Get in there.
Like, literally, anyone who works out for real hates the Smith machine.
Yeah, it's certainly not as effective as just a... a free base bar doing the damn thing.
Right.
Getting on it. We do have something coming up on the 13th, which I'm very excited about. I had a great fucking time last year.
Me too.
At the it was Stogies and Cycles last year. I think it's Stogies and Spirits.
Correct.
I really wish it was kind of like Cycles and Spirits. Like, I'm not a big fan of smoking at all.
Mm-hmm.
Even like weed, if random people are smoking weed and like blowing it in my face, not a fan.
So it's, if it's a joint or a blunt, yes.
Okay.
If it's a pipe, I don't mind it as much, but correct.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, anywhere you go now, you smell it everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's coming up in a couple weeks. I'm excited about it. I know Bubba's doing his own thing. He's not riding up with us. I am kind of upset about that.
Yeah.
Cause Bubba is the funnest person that I know. Mm-hmm. And I tell people this. You know, they're like, isn't it crazy? I have a lot of people ask me, you know, how do you feel like you don't have job? I mean, I do have job security, but I don't. But, you know, there's peaks and valleys working here. You know, we see with Lummy especially and me where, you know, you're in Bubba's good graces one day and then maybe the next day not so much.
Well, Bubba's like, he's like a firecracker that's lit that you're throwing back and forth and you know it's going to go off one day, but it's really fun to like just throw it back and forth right before it goes off.
Yeah.
And eventually it's going to explode. But, like, just throwing it back and forth is really exciting.
Uh-huh. And you know those people that, like, crave dramatic relationships? And I'm like, God, how do they deal with that? That's kind of what I deal with, we all deal with every day.
Yeah.
Is, like, the drama. Like, will I have a job tomorrow? I don't know. You know? But, and what I tell people is that my worst fear isn't being fired. My worst fear is having a boring life.
Right.
And if 90% of it, and we talk about this a lot, if 90% of it is super fun and exciting and cool, and maybe 7 to 10% is like kind of scary, what the fuck's going on? I don't know. Then that's a ratio I'm willing to accept.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to live a boring corporate life where you just work from home in a cubicle.
Right.
As boring as cubicle life was, it was far more exciting and stimulating than fucking working from home. I do not know how people do it. And people, they claim to love it.
I would have no problem working from home. If I couldn't do it here, obviously, but like if the job warranted being able to work from home efficiently, I would absolutely do it in a heartbeat.
But it's hard for you to say because your job here is so social. So imagine if that element was taken away and you had no social life Monday through Friday and you're literally just home by yourself.
Yeah, but I would also do things to make up for that though.
Yeah. I just don't think it breeds productivity for me personally.
Right.
I know some people it does where, you know, maybe they're just more introverted, but to just wake up every day is the same. You don't make memories. Think about that. Like if you're working like 8 to 10 hours a day from home, those 8 to 10 hours, like you are not making memories. Like here we can be like, hey, remember when you know, Justin Clark, that breaks, and then I'm like, oh yeah, that whole debacle.
Yeah.
Or Kenneth Kimberlin, whatever the situation may be, like that, those are memories that are solidified. But if it's just day in, day out, email, a couple more email, like every day is the same. That is just such a fucking boring waste of like human.
Yeah.
Productivity, like how is that? I don't understand how that's fun. I don't understand how that's fulfilling. Oh, it's for a fucking paycheck. Yeah, I know. But I guess I just have a different philosophy on life. A and B, and I use this word sparingly because I hate this word. I am privileged. I know that.
Okay.
I grew up in a place where I didn't have to worry about money.
Sheltered.
You know, sheltered, but like yes and no.
No. You didn't have to worry about having shelter is what I'm saying.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I had shelter. We weren't rich, but we certainly weren't poor. You know, my grandparents helped out if need be. I never had without, you know, it wasn't like we had to have canned goods because my parents couldn't afford food. So my approach and what I was kind of fed as a child was like, just be happy. Like, just be happy. And it's really fucking cool that that's what both of my parents genuinely want for me. They don't want anything for me. Like, they don't, they've never asked me, either one, and they've been divorced for decades, so it's not like they're, you know, hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
But they've never once asked me about getting married.
Right.
They've never once asked me about grandbabies.
Having kids, yep.
They didn't have me so that I could give them something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because a lot of times people feel like they owe their parents grandkids. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Get the fuck out of here. So my parents have just never been that way. They just want, they're just like, hey, are you okay? Are you having fun with life? Yes. Okay, great. Great. That's all we want for you. Yeah. Whether you want kids, whether you don't, cool.
And
whether
they genuinely care.
They genuinely care. Yeah, they just want me to be happy. They don't give a fuck who I date. My parents aren't religious. They don't care. Democrat, Republican, white, black, purple. They don't care.
My parents are like almost exactly the same way.
Yeah. And it's so great. I have friends who are single and their parents pester that, especially the mother, like pesters that, when are you getting married? When are you? Bitch, I don't even have a girlfriend. Like, that's what they have to tell their grandparents or their parents. But my parents just don't give a fuck. They just want me to be happy. They don't want anything from me. They don't need me to get married. They don't need me to have kids or anything like that. So that takes a lot of pressure off.
Sure.
A lot of pressure.
Sure.
Because I don't feel like I'm disappointing anybody. I mean, I disappoint them, but for other reasons, not for that.
Of course.
So, but I do genuinely feel bad for people who have that added pressure, but they just want me to be happy. So I think I've had that philosophy going into life that... And my mom did like a passion career. My mom was a dancer, not a stripper. Shut the fuck up. She was owned a dance studio for 25 years. So she was a business owner.
You mean to tell me dancers can wear clothes too?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, she did tap dancing and jazz, ballet, shit like that. So
So did my mom.
I know. So my mom owned a business for 25 years and it was like a family business. But, you know, my mom was the, you know, she ran
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think I was just encouraged to kind of do the same, just like follow your heart sort of bullshit. Mm-hmm. And again, that comes from a point of privilege because I talk to people who didn't have a lot and all they want is corporate cush life.
Sure.
Because they grew up in a home where there was a lot of scarcity, uncertainty. We don't know where our next meal's coming from. So all they want is security. All they want is just fucking money, food in the fridge, you know.
And I get that.
Totally. Totally.
I'm a little more like that than you.
Yeah.
But I still, like, it would be hard to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I do know people and they don't care if the job is boring. They're like, boring. I'm just fucking grateful I'm making money. Which
Daunting
I get.
9,000 bits.
Woo! Thank you, Daunting. You've been really...
Going crazy.
Throwing it out there, and we appreciate it. So, yeah, I think I come from... I'm like, but I just want to be happy, and that doesn't register with people. They're like, but it's called work. Work isn't supposed to be fun. But I disagree. I mean, you're going to spend your life more time doing...
A majority of your life.
Yes, working or being at a place of occupation than you are doing anything else. Mm-hmm. Spending time with your family, sleeping. You know, this is where you're going to spend most of your time. I certainly don't want to spend... You know, I mean, 40 hours a week, you know, maybe obviously more for some people. I don't want to spend that time doing something I fucking hate. Mm-hmm. That to me is not winning in the game of life.
Daunting 9,000 bits.
Thank you very much. So that's just kind of how I feel about that. 813-90-BUBBA. Let's take a quick break right now and we'll return. I'm kind of in the middle of this. It's not really a debacle. It's like a low key debacle. Okay. Nothing too serious, but I feel like there is a moral component to this that I feel like I would like people to weigh in on. And if I could get this fucking mouse, nailed it. Fucking nailed it. All right, we'll be back in like 5 minutes.
I want to know this moral dilemma. We'll be right back.
can't even wait for Blitz on this. I'm really excited to tell you guys what the fuck just went down. Because the timing of a text I just got could not have been better.
Hurry up!
Thank you, shitting. But... oh, I can't wait to tell you guys what just happened. It's like content just finds me. I'm too excited. I started the show without you. No, I didn't tell them what it is either. I just said I'm excited because the text I just got is, it's just so funny how content just falls into my lap like that. But, so what I was going to talk about and what I had even written down on this piece of paper right here. I mean, you can't really read it, but it was a note. Ghosting. Oh, shit. Sorry. There you go.
Gee, thanks.
So we're both casually trying to date, mm-hmm. right? And so I went on a date a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
With a gentleman. And, he looked pretty good in his pictures, seemed pretty chill, like whatever. I think there was a little bit of rapport. Like I gotta see that you got like a sense of humor and a brain, you know, that's just kind of right. Basic shit. So it was kind of like a last minute thing because I was leaving for California soon, and we meet up on whatever night that is. And listen, he originally wanted to meet earlier.
Okay.
In the evening, and I said, well, no, because you didn't really get back to, like, he only let me know that he was game at, like, 4 p.m.
Okay.
So I just took my time all day and dicked around, and, I mean, I still wanted to go to the gym, and then it takes me a while to get ready and all mm-hmm. that sort of shit. Like, if you want to go on a date and you solidify plans, preferably, I'm pretty sure most women are like this, especially for the first date, like, we want it locked in a day or so before.
Well, yeah.
Even the earlier the better. Like, even if it's 5 days, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
to know that this time is blocked off for this meeting.
Yes.
So it was kind of like up in the air. I'll let you know. I'm not sure if I can meet. Da 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 da. And I'm like, all right. No sweat off my back. I always say, let me know either way.
Yeah.
That's all I need.
Yep.
So I was pretty cool about it. And I think we were talking on Friday. And he said, I'll let you know tomorrow. And by tomorrow, I'm thinking like 10 a.m. Hey, I'm down for whatever.
Yeah.
Cool. Then I can plan my day and we can meet, whatever. No problem. This motherfucker doesn't get back to me probably till like 4:30.
Oh.
And he's like, so can you meet like an hour and a half?
What?
Daunting 9,000 bits. Thank you. I don't know if that's one we've already read.
No, it's not. He just said it.
So I'm like, yeah, we can meet tonight. But I mean, at that point, I'm like, it needs to be on my terms. Like, I'm not going to just... not work out because I wanted to, just because to meet you because
you
asked.
You.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm gonna do me. If you can still meet at like 8 or whatever, then that's fine.
Yep.
So, I think we agreed to meet at like 8, and then he was running late. And I'm like, perfect, great, another half an hour, and then he was running even later. Like, it was just crazy because he was the one that wanted to meet earlier, and then he kept pushing it back.
Okay.
So I'm like, all right, well, okay. So I end up like. Sitting at this bar, like, probably, like, 20 minutes, 30 minutes.
Oh, that's not good.
No, I wasn't happy about it, but I knew that he was driving from an hour away, so I gave him the benefit of the doubt.
Okay.
Now I'm there, I'm dressed, I'm ready to go, like, whatever. There's nothing better than when you walk in and the guy's just there.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to worry about it, because it looks real fucking weird. And I know I'm not trying to be, like, sexist or anything, but if a guy sits at a bar by himself, that's whatever. But if a chick does, like, everybody's like, what's going on?
Yeah.
She's clearly on a date. She's waiting for somebody.
Yeah, what if he doesn't show?
Right, and yeah, I look like I'm going on a date. I was just like, oh, fuck. And here's the thing. Probably no one is, like, looking or cares, but in my mind,
absolutely.
Every, like, glance I get, I'm like, oh, they know. They know.
That's okay, because guys think the same thing, by the way.
About women?
No, they're like, I'm at the bar alone. Everyone's going, oh, yeah, you're waiting for some chick. She might not show up.
Right, exactly.
Same thing.
So you're just paranoid.
Of course.
Dude shows up late as fuck. First off, he asked me, he's like, is it playing this song, whatever song it was? So I'm thinking he's like outside. I'm like, yeah, come on in. Okay. It's like another 10 minutes.
Okay.
I'm like,
that's weird.
Where are you? Like, yeah, yeah. Are you lost? Literally inside of the bar.
Right.
It's not that big.
Right.
So
did he go poop first or something?
I have no clue. It was just really fucking bizarre. So and maybe it wasn't 10 minutes. Maybe it was at least 6 or 7.
Okay.
But that's weird to be like, hey, is it playing this song? I can hear it outside. Okay, great. Yeah, that's it.
And then still not coming.
And I was literally like,
yeah.
Checking, but I'm like, is he? And I explained exactly where I was, and my directions aren't bad. Because
mm-hmm.
I can tell, though, I'm good with directions. I'm good at explaining where I am. And he just not, I didn't, and I literally said, like, text at one point, are you lost? What's going on?
Okay.
So he shows up, and we have a really fucking awkward, I think I thought he was coming from this angle, and he thought I was coming from that angle. So we're doing, like, this weird.
Okay.
Thing that which is just it's just so cringe it's so cringe. Now also this, I'm not really one to judge people by what they wear because look at me, I'm disgusting, right?
Your Kevin shirt
in my hey, it was a Halloween shirt.
I know.
I just washed it, so I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna wear it. But he was wearing slides
on a date. Okay.
I mean, you go out in slides to, like, go smoke a joint in your backyard. You don't go
right
on a date.
Yeah,
slides.
I have Crocs to wear to, like, get the mail and, like, go outside real quick.
Real quick, right. Take out the trash.
Yep, that's it.
No problem. I mean, maybe you go to a gas station, fine.
Yeah.
No problem.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, you're going to go, like, have some more respect for me. Like, right. At least he wasn't wearing socks and slides.
Okay, well.
But he was wearing slides, and I was just like, really? Mm. And then I'm like, maybe he's just kind of, like, here's the thing. Sometimes people who are kind of nerdy, and he wasn't bad looking, but kind of like, no offense, but like engineering type nerds, they just don't get it, I feel like. Not you.
Hold on, I was trying to throw something.
But you get what I'm saying, where they're just like, they have so much energy is going to problem solving and formulas in their head that it's just not registering that you need to wear closed-toed shoes on a date. Even if you wear flip-flops, like that's better than like slides.
Right.
I'm like, really? So I noticed that, and I'm just like, that's, all right.
Was it shorts or pants?
It's like, the shorts were fine. The shirt was fine.
No, because the pants and slides are even worse, but okay,
no, not,
shorts.
No pants. Okay, okay, no pants. It was like cargo shorts or whatever. Okay. It was fine. No problem. But I felt like the slides was like, it was offensive to me, because I'm like, I really mean that little to you that you didn't even try to make the effort to put on like tie shoes.
You're late and you don't have real shoes.
You don't have real shoes. You're going to the gas station? You're going to 7-Eleven, bro?
Right.
So we're at this like bar and we're yelling at each other because it's so fucking loud. And that was my fault because he doesn't know the area. So I suggested it.
Okay.
So I'm like, can we? And he was like, no, we can stay. We can stay. I'm like, what? Like, we're yelling. I'm just like, dude, I work in radio. I can't be fucking losing my voice because I'm screaming at you. Let's go somewhere else.
Right.
So we go somewhere else. We sit down. And it was fine. It was like, I feel like being in radio, I can kind of make any kind of conversation work.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You just talk about them. Mm-hmm. You just fucking ask questions about them, and they get them going, and they're going to think they're having the best conversation of their life, which is exactly what happened.
Okay.
Like, I talked a little bit about myself initially, but sometimes I feel like I talk a lot here, and it's just nice to sit and, like, listen, and honestly listen.
Agree.
And you just sit and you just listen to someone else's life and see what makes them passionate about whatever.
A guy should know a date's not going well if he's the one talking about himself.
He even mentioned, like, I feel like I'm talking a lot about you and a lot about me.
Yeah.
And I just said, listen, I talk all the time. It's kind of, and to be honest, it was nice, but it was nice because I was tired.
Yeah.
And so it was nice to, and it wasn't that I was like falling asleep, but it was just nice to not feel like I have to be the entertainer.
Mm-hmm.
It was just nice to sit back and like listen to a story.
Yeah.
And he had some interesting fucking stories.
Right.
My ears really perked up when he said they worked in DC. And I said, what were you doing there? He goes, I can't tell you.
Okay.
I know I mentioned this during Kevin's
law. Yeah.
But I go, huh, you can't, what? And I literally was like, NSA? NSA, FBI, CIA. He's like, I can't Hell yeah. I'm like, yeah. Yes, you can. He was like a defense contractor.
He's like, waste management. They don't let me tell you whose trash I pick up.
I think he was a defense contractor for, like, not the government, but a company that was working for the government.
L3 or Lucent or one of those
types. I don't fucking know. Yeah. But he couldn't really tell me, which that was probably the most exciting thing that he told me, is that he couldn't tell me. Nice. That's when I was interested.
The best thing he had to say was nothing.
I literally, like, I've, like, parked up like a fucking hound dog. Let's go.
Yep.
So we're talking this and that, and it's not going badly, but here's the thing. Like, I feel like I have great connection with a lot of people. I feel like I rarely have chemistry with a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And chemistry is one of those, it's like an ethereal, abstract thing that's really hard to like pinpoint. But I'm like, if you just look at the guy, he's a good-looking guy, minus the slides, has a good job. His living situation was a little questionable with... Mm-hmm. You know, he moved to Florida. He seems to be bouncing around a lot. He's like lived in 10 different states in the last decade.
Okay.
He was, and it's not that he doesn't have money. I know he was making good money, but like he was like just living it with his dad out of convenience.
Mm-hmm.
And he lived an hour away. And I'm like, you live with your dad an hour. I just don't think that that's ideal. Like, I'm thinking, what's this? Is he going to be staying with me every night? Like, his schedule is similar to mine, and the fact that he wakes up at like 4:35 every day. So it's just whatever.
Yeah.
Seemed like, you know, I'm doing the math in my head and it doesn't look right.
How's that going to work?
Right. And I find him interesting, but not like. I don't know. I wasn't like really sexually attracted to him, but here it wasn't like he was a bad looking guy. It was great. I just wasn't just again, connection, no chemistry. I felt, but when you get people and I forget who I was listening to, it was like some motivational self-development person. When you get someone talking about themselves, they're going to think that it's the great, maybe it was like How to Win Friends and Influence People. Okay. Maybe it was that book.
Yep.
Like, if you get someone to start talking about themselves, they are going to think that they are having the most interesting conversation of their lives. Okay. And all they are doing is reliving their past. Like, they are reliving their highlight reel.
Yes.
And you are a willing listener, and they are thinking that it is a slam dunk, home run, this is great, we are fucking bonding. In my head, I'm just like, I'm fucking tired of shit.
Yeah.
I want to get home. That's when I started. That was the first morning, actually, where I had lost confidence in my sleep because I woke up, but I couldn't fall back asleep. And I only got like 6 hours. And it was right after that Bubble 199. And I was like tired as fuck. And the day was just, it wasn't great. Anyways, so we're talking, we're chit-chatting, whatever. And he makes it known after the date that he had a great time.
Okay.
Because he got to talk about himself.
Sure.
Which is, and to be fair, like, I was making that happen.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't trying to interject and talk about myself. I was just kind of tired. I wanted to listen.
Yeah.
I was in the listening mood, and I just wanted to kind of muscle through the date because I just really wanted to get home and go to bed.
Right.
Plus, I had like, what was I doing the next day? I was getting fucked up, I feel like. Okay. Oh, my friend was getting engaged.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I was gonna, you know, be there to hang out and get fucked up with them. So, okay. I was like, I had that on my mind. Like, I gotta get up early and work out so I can go get fucked up with them. So we end the date, and he's like, "This was great. Like, we should do this again." I'm like, "Ta."
Right.
So I tell him, "Hey, get back to me, you know, when I come back from California."
Okay.
In like a week and a half or whatever. And I'm thinking in my head, perfect. Because time passes, the momentum from the night dissipates.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just think they forget.
Right.
You forget.
Yeah.
I'm like, I literally was like, don't even contact me until I come back. Like, don't even text me. It's cool. I think he sent one text, like, have fun. And I was like, thanks.
Okay.
And, I get back and I'm thinking, you know, he crossed my mind for a second. I go, I wonder if he's going to reach out to me. He does. And I don't answer.
Okay.
And I was actually thinking about, I'm like, do I? What do I say? I'm like, I don't want to.
Yeah, don't.
And then I actually was listening to Call Her Daddy randomly yesterday.
Okay.
Or the day before. And it was about ghosting. And I was like, oh, it's perfect. Like,
yeah.
You know, and she's, you know, Alex is just some chick who's giving advice about sex and sucking dick. Like, who cares what she thinks? But it was just funny to be like, oh, this is actually something I'm going through in real time.
Mm-hmm.
And so he messages me. I don't answer. 2 days pass. He messages me again yesterday.
Ooh.
I don't answer.
Okay.
Right before we went to break, he messages me.
Ooh, that's almost too much.
Are you ghosting me?
Oh.
Yeah, he messaged me 49 minutes ago. And I feel like I want to write yes. but I want to kind of get your input, being Blitz, and also your input being the 397 people who are listening.
Yeah.
What is the move? Like, I don't think he's a bad guy. And here's the thing, and I want to make this like a PSA, because I feel like, listen, men get a lot of hate. And it's funny because you don't really hear this from women often.
Right.
It mostly is like, I'm a woman. Hear me roar. But like, I work exclusively with men and have for the last 5 years.
Right.
5.5 years. Many of my best friends are men. I'm very close with my father. Men are just people. Women are just people. You know, judge people by who they are. I know that's a crazy fucking concept.
Yeah.
But, and I feel like a lot of the ways that men are treated is really unfair. Really, really fucking unfair.
True.
Again, I don't judge you based on your gender. I judge you based on, you know, if you're a fucking asshole or not. So when women say that, you know, there's no good men left and they hate men or men are scumbags, it's like, well, first off, maybe it's you, if every guy you're running into. And oftentimes, if you dig a little bit deeper, the men that are attracted to them, they don't want. So they're like completely disregarding that that demographic of men who are good men who want them and who would treat them well, but they're not interested. So then every guy that they want, you know, either treats them like shit or is a fuckboy or playboy or whatever. And then they go, all of those guys that I want don't want me and they're fucking assholes. It's like, well, that's really not a fair statement to say all men are X or whatever. This is a... seems like a great guy.
Okay.
Seems like a great fucking guy. Not interested. What's the move? I feel like I would think at this point it's pretty clear that I'm not interested. I don't really like writing the, hey, had a great time. I didn't feel a connection.
Right.
Is that the... I feel like that's shittier. Like, I would just prefer someone to not answer me. Wow. And then I go, okay, I get it. Because I'll, if you, whatever the crowd wants, like, I'll fucking do it right now, as long as it's not, like, mean or anything. Like, should I say, hey, I'm just not interested? Like, is that the move?
I mean, usually that's what I, you know, yes.
Because I don't want to lie and be like, I'm not in a place in my life, because I literally told this guy I'm ready for a relationship, but I'm good. I don't want it with you. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
I don't want to date you anymore. I wasn't excited. I didn't feel anything.
I always think like just being honest is way better.
But but isn't the clearest most...
To a guy? No.
Okay. All right. Okay. Maybe that's different. Because if someone doesn't get back to me, like I'm like, okay, got it. Noted. Loud and clear. Silence is the loudest answer sometimes.
Yeah, you're right.
But he just asked me, are you ghosting me? And I feel like at this point, I need to just go, yeah, I don't think it's going to work out. But then I fear he's going to ask me why.
No, no.
And at that point, I will block your fucking number.
That's the thing. Here's what I was going to say is you need, if you're going to reply, it needs to be one reply and never again, no matter what he says.
So should we concoct it together? What should I say? What's the right thing to do? Let's take a call, actually. Hello, who's this? Do you have some advice for me? Watch, it's like the guy. He's like, I can't hear you. What's up?
I have some advice for you.
It is the guy.
Gary, don't tell anyone that we went on that date.
Anna, you sound like the woman that you were just mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
You were looking for someone who's not interested in you, and...
That's all women.
And the guys that are interested in you, you're not willing to take. But my advice is that guy needs to run. Run, dude.
Yeah.
Run
fast. Should I write that, Gary? Just be like, run, motherfucker, run.
Gary says, run, dude, run.
Run, dude.
You're like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
I'm like, Gary says, quote, run, dude, run.
Make it quick.
All right. Okay, well, thank you, Gary. Appreciate you.
Yeah.
All right. Keep well, friend.
Yeah, if you decide to reply... It needs to be short, to the point, one reply, and no matter what he says, do not reply to it.
Okay, so say you're this guy. What would you want a girl to... Should she write anything, or would you just kind of... Like, first off, I would never ask someone, are you ghosting me? Like, I would never even...
Right, no, he's at the point of... Like, he's begging for a shitty response.
Right. So do I give it to him? Should I just say yes? Yes, I am ghosting you. I feel like I should just... Here's the thing. To me, no response is the response. Like, people are like, right. I didn't have closure. It's like, what are you talking about? If someone slams a door in your face, that's closure.
You were on one date. You weren't dating him for a
Correct.
While.
Correct. So I also kept that. It was one date. Just right. one.
Yeah. So, like, you don't owe him anything. You don't owe him a reply.
He also, like, kind of touched me a little too quickly. I didn't like that at all, which was weird. If we're on the first date, like, don't touch me at all. Or if we're, like, in the middle of a conversation, you, like, grab my hand or something. You're like, no, seriously, like, fine. But, like, we walk into the second bar.
Okay.
And he's like, what are you going to get? Whatever. What are you going to get to drink? And I go, I don't know. And I'm, like, looking at whatever and the selection. And he, like, puts his hand on my back. I'm like, dude, I met you 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Get the fuck! Like, I was like, what the fuck? I've been taking jujitsu. I would
fucking put you in an armbar.
Yeah, put you in an armbar.
Choke that fucker out.
Yeah, so I was just like, I just kind of shifted away. And there was like a few times that he kind of did it. Like, we were sitting and our legs are facing. He's like trying to pull me closer. My legs are doing just weird shit. I'm like, this isn't comfortable for anyone. Right. What are you doing? I'm on my grunt too.
The more you talk, the more I'm like, I wouldn't even fucking reply.
Do I just not reply? Like, what's the move? But I feel like some people need closure in different ways. I get that.
Yeah.
If I just tell them straight up, hey, yo, I just don't think it's going to work, bro. But I don't know what to tell him.
So, I mean, the two options.
Why don't I text him something to see if we can get a response by the end of the show? Have I turned into Bubba the Love Sponge?
Yeah.
Earning people's lives for content. Yeah.
And I mean, if you're going to reply, it needs to be quick to the point.
All right, so
it's like, you don't gotta be a dick about it.
All right, so the Wednesday that I leave, he writes, I hope you have a safe flight, have fun in SoCal. I go, thanks, 2 exclamation points, because I'm cute.
Okay, so that's
cute.
That's already shitty.
Yeah, I don't even say like...
Yeah,
I didn't ask a question.
Yeah, you're not carrying on the conversation.
Nope, yep. Full stop.
Yep.
Then Tuesday, so a couple days ago, he goes, hi there, how was your trip? Nothing. Yesterday, 3:28 p.m. Hey, what's going on? Staying dry over there? Smiley face. No response. 10:30 this morning. Are you ghosting me?
The answer should be pretty fucking clear at this point. If your last reply to him was thanks exclamation with nothing else going on, no reply, like that's...
Yeah. And it was perfect because I was like, he's like, yeah, we should totally do this. And what am I going to say to his face? No thanks!
Yeah.
So you just go, hey... Yeah, text me after I get back from California.
Right,
I get back, which is in a week and a half.
Sure.
So, should I write something? Should I be honest? That's not really my move.
I know you're a big liar.
I'm either a big liar or a big avoider.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't like hurting people's feelings, certainly, but I mean, at this point, I feel like I've been pretty clear.
What does everyone else think?
Let's find out. Let me actually put everybody on hold and then I'll start taking calls because I can't put you on hold if I'm talking to somebody. All right. Hello, who's this?
Hey, it's Trickney.
Trickney!
What's up, Ashley?
What's up, girl?
Hey.
Buzzard Bob just said, tell him you have herpes. Fuck you, ass eater! Sorry, go ahead.
That'd be the truth. She doesn't say the truth.
Shut up.
Bottom line, short and sweet. No response is the best response.
Okay, so you're saying I shouldn't respond?
Nope.
Don't say a fucking word.
Okay.
Nope.
I feel like if I get like
Make
a fourth message.
Just...
Yeah. You don't think I should write something? Because, I mean, it seems like that's
what
he wants.
What's the point?
Listen, I don't know. It just sounds like this motherfucker needs some closure because I think he thinks I let him on because I was cordial. And I said, yeah, let's hang out.
How dare you?
And it was one day, you know, it's not like we fucked or something. I met his family and then I just didn't respond to him.
So you owe him nothing.
Yeah. I owe him nothing. He owes me nothing, certainly. Yeah. But I also feel like Blitz was saying, he's begging for a shitty response.
Yeah, at this point he is.
Right. That's the whole point. He's begging for a shitty response.
Yeah.
You don't give it to him.
I kind of agree with that,
it's
too.
It's much easier said than done. I get it. But don't give it to him because that's exactly what he wants.
Yeah. Like, he's asking for you to be a bitch.
Ooh.
That's what I'm saying.
So
like, he's fishing
for
you. Yeah, he's fishing for you to be the bitch.
He just fucking said to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good point.
So I'm just
Great
from girl
point.
To girl, Just saying, yep. Take it or leave it. Like I
great
said,
great point. I didn't even think about that because yeah. He's fishing for me to be an asshole.
Right, that's what I'm saying. That's
and
why
then he'll
I said.
Have a reason to hate me.
That's exactly what I just
and
said.
If you yeah. Say something, yeah, and if you say something, he probably won't say anything else.
Yeah, so then he's like, I didn't respond to her.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And give him the last laugh. Yeah. I don't think so, right. Pussy boy.
Well, you're better than that, girlfriend.
I'm not, but thank you. I appreciate it.
You are.
Oh, thanks. I believe you.
Otherwise.
Yeah. Thanks,
all right.
Ashley.
All right, bye.
Bye, guys.
Have a good weekend.
Yeah, and I do want to stress, like, great person, probably. I really don't know him.
Yeah.
It was really funny. I felt like he's probably smarter than me, like, mathematically.
Okay.
Like, on paper. But when it comes to, like, making jokes and catching, like, you know, again,
the,
I'm
the
ribbing him.
The kind of more important thing.
For me, yes, yeah, certainly.
Well, yeah, I mean, for a social situation.
Yeah, and again, he was, like, smart and everything, but there was, like, a few times where I was just ribbing him. Because sometimes when you get in a situation where you're having a conversation with somebody, you just start, especially when you work in radio, I feel like sometimes you just start being a performer again.
Yeah.
And I start ribbing him like he's one of the guys on the mm-hmm. show or something. And I think I casually mentioned something about, like, marijuana or something, like, okay. Assuming that he had smoked it at one point in his life.
Oh,
and he
Jesus.
Hadn't.
Oh, no.
And he's like, I've actually never done drugs.
Oh,
and I was
wow.
like, even, like, marijuana, even weed?
Right, that's
kind of
weird. He's
like, never. And I'm like, oh. To me, so, that's like you're a virgin or something. You know, like, you
yeah.
love God and
yeah,
you're a
yeah,
virgin
yeah.
or something.
So imagine this. You think it's, like, kind of odd or whatever, joking around with guys or ribbing guys, right?
Yeah.
Now, that's a little
yeah.
more likely. You know, like, it's like, okay, I get it, but, like,
yeah.
a guy then trying to do the same thing with a girl, they usually don't like
well.
Ribs as well as guys do.
Yeah. Yeah. Certainly.
So, and I'm a little sarcastic at times.
Yeah. I get that.
So
but here,
I try to do it, it's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. You can definitely get away with more as a girl if you're ribbing a guy,
yes.
but... Here's the thing. If you kind of throw something out there and it doesn't hit or they don't like it, like, don't keep doing it, obviously.
Right, right, right.
So I was kind of, I think I mentioned something about him being a square, like, jokingly.
Okay.
I was like, oh, okay, well, we'll just keep it to Christ then, you know.
Right, whatever. Right, right.
And he takes the bait
mm-hmm.
and he's like, I've actually done some really dangerous and risky things in my life. I just haven't done drugs. They go, oh, and I go, oh, yeah? I went like this, literally hands on my hips, almost just like...
I drove 3 miles over to speed limit on the way here. Oh. I'll have you know.
Daredevil you. No, I literally put my hands on my hips. I'm like, you have?
This,
I was like, like what? Like
this
what?
One time in 2011, I ran a stop sign.
Yeah, it was actually kind of a little more badass than I had thought. He's like, I went to a communist rally in Bulgaria, and I was arrested. Now, he didn't go because he was a communist. He just wanted, it was just like, he was there. And
yeah, he
just,
happened to be.
So, but I was just like, okay, I mean, yeah, that's something. But he totally took the bait. Instead of, if someone accuses you of being something, like, in a joking way, the best thing to do is just own it, even if it's
yeah.
not true.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if I was like, you're a fucking square, and he's just like, I'm a fucking square. Like, that is a hotter, better response, because he's owning it.
Yeah.
Versus, like, being like, no.
Right.
No, I'm not.
Right.
I'm bad bitch. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Like, that was the.
Well, if they say it like that.
But that's what it felt like. Because he was like, I've actually done a lot of risky things in my life. I'm just not, you know, I didn't do drugs, but I was like, oh, yeah. Like, what? I was like, what? And he's like, I went to a communist rally in Bulgaria and I was arrested. And I'm like,
but did
okay.
he say it like that or no?
No, but like.
Okay, see.
It's the fact that he felt like he had to contest the statement
sure,
I made.
Sure, sure, sure.
Made me laugh.
Yeah.
Because he fell for the bait.
Yeah.
So, like, if he would have said something to the effect of, yeah, I'm a square, but I did get arrested at a communist rally in Bulgaria, and I would be like, oh, okay. Like, that's the kind of flow that you want. Not, no, like, he was just like, not true, you know?
Right.
Like a kid,
yeah,
sort
yeah,
of,
yeah.
you know? That's not true. Like, can't, you know, like a fucking 8-year-old can't take a joke.
Mm-hmm.
It's a similar thing. So, but like a sweet man, sure, and I'm sure he's got a lot to offer, but I don't think that, you know?
Yeah.
It was just a very blah time. Wasn't mm-hmm. bad. You know, it's not exciting when you're just like, I'm just like, even if I was really tired and I was really stimulated by whoever I was with, you make it happen. You're just
yeah, yeah,
tired,
yeah.
but you're like, this is amazing. Or you're excited. Like
mm-hmm.
the adrenaline keeps you going, but
sure.
there was no adrenaline. There was no adrenaline, no excitement, no dopamine.
Your body was like, this one's not the one for you.
Yeah, I was like, whoa. I'm like, did I take a Xanax? Shit. No, just having a conversation with you.
Right.
Shame. Hello, who's this?
This is John.
Gom?
John.
John, what's up, John?
Hey, first I want to tell you, you guys do a great show, by the way.
Hey, thank you for saying that. I appreciate it.
And again, I don't want to pretend like I know you guys. I don't want to be arrogant and think I can.
No,
get in your
please
head.
Be arrogant. Assume all you want. You're probably right.
But be respectfully. I think you're not going to like this, but I think you got this totally wrong.
Okay.
Probably one of the reasons why you're single.
All right.
Is you don't have any clue what this guy is like. You don't know this guy's personality. I'm kind of a smart guy, and I went to the therapy to try to get rid of the same thing that it seems like you're doing. Is because you're bright, you probably think you could totally know this guy's personality. I've been 2 hours with him. I totally know this guy. But you have no clue who he is. And I think you just need to give that chance. You're talking about that chemistry. But that,
so do you think everybody should get two? And I'm not being combative.
No, not two, but here's
two,
the thing.
Two date minimum. Like, is that your kind of MO?
Well, here's the thing. Why throw this guy away? What's the worst thing that could happen? He becomes a friend. His best friend.
No one wants to be friends.
There's no such thing as friends.
I don't want to be. I have enough friends. You know what? I have too many friends. I'm trying to get rid of some people.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Like, one of my best friends, when I first met him, he was nothing like any of my other friends. But after a while getting to know him, he became the most loyal, faithful person. And I think it's just the arrogance to think you could read a person and totally.
So how many dates did it take you to figure that out?
I think a couple dates. I think like maybe like two or three. You get a good sense of who the person is. They feel a little more comfortable. He's stressed out. He's on a date with a lovely lady. He's probably a little stressed.
Total. And I totally take nervousness into account. Yeah. And listen, I've been on dates where, you know, me and the other person have been nervous, and it leads to a second date, or there's chemistry after you kind of. Here's the thing. The first 5 minutes are uncomfortable, but then after 5, 10, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, then it's now they're your friend. Now we're buds, right? We're talking. We got good rapport.
That may not be for him.
You're right. I mean, absolutely, you're right. But nevertheless, how many times do I need to go out with this guy 3 times to make sure I'm not feeling it?
Again, you're a popular lady, but what's wrong with keeping this guy in your life? Does it really kill you? I mean, he's not going to turn into a
Why?
Psycho.
He doesn't want me in his life if I'm not dating him, and I don't need any more friends.
Oh, well, if he appreciates candor, then tell him candidly. But
I'm
not a big fan of the ghosting thing. That's what spurred my phone call. I just think
totally. Hey, I appreciate your input.
That part I would get, but I mean. I've been on like a bunch of first dates that I would never like waste my time with a second date.
I've been on 6 first dates in the last year, and none of them transpired into a second date.
For
different reasons,
you're both like real smart fellows, you know, smart people. And I think you guys arrogantly think you could like shrink a person within 2 hours. And I'm just
did
saying,
I? Because I failed 6
flaw.
Times. Go ahead.
No, but I just think that's the fatal flaw of probably both of you guys is that you think you can judge a person on a first date night.
I'm sure he was judging me. I can't judge him, though.
And he likes you, and he's texting you.
Okay, well, that's, again, I got to do what's in my best interest as he's doing what's in his best interest, you know?
No, again, if you told me he was doing creepy things on the date, or
it was kind of creepy that he, like, was touching my back 3 minutes into meeting me, which I didn't, don't touch me. Like,
oh, I didn't know that. Okay, well,
That kind of threw me off. I didn't like that. I don't like being touched by a stranger.
You're not a toucher.
I don't want to be touched the first date at all, like, any sort of romantic way. Like, I'm not your girlfriend, you're not my boyfriend, we're just trying to get to, like, are you a murderer? Right. Like, that's kind of what I'm sussing out, you know?
I didn't hear that before, I apologize.
Yeah, no. Hey, listen, I never get offended if you tell me, even if you're like, you got a problem, you're arrogant. You're probably right, man.
Yeah.
I'm totally down to listen to what anyone says. So
I've taken enough of your guys' time. But by the way, and I think you're a great addition to that show. It's sort of like a good counterbalance to the machismo there. And it just, I think you had a good element.
Thanks.
To the show.
I appreciate that. I really do appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Right.
Bye, guys.
Thanks.
Bye. Yeah, I mean, I guess that's kind of like an interesting question. Like, how many times do you give someone, and I don't want to say a chance like they got to prove themselves, but you give the relationship a chance to listen. I think, and I may be wrong, which is funny because like my last relationship, it was 3 unsuccessful dates and then the fourth one, whatever. But I feel like usually most of the time you can kind of tell within the first date if you're at least attracted to somebody.
Yeah.
I just wasn't. And it's weird because it was one of those things where I'm looking at him. I'm like, you're a fine looking man. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not ugly or anything. He was tall, had his hair, whatever.
Right.
but I just, there was just no, like, I'm not getting excited. I'm not, there's no chemistry. Like, I don't feel the chemistry. I'm not like, oh, this is exciting. This is an invigorating conversation, or, you know, I think you're hot, even if it's that kind of primal. Like, there was none of
that
at all. So it was just kind of like, oh, yeah. So I feel like you can kind of tell that on the first date.
Absolutely.
You know, am I excited to see you again? I feel like just listening to your intuition. Am I excited to see this man again? That or woman, whatever.
Yeah.
Baby. Am I excited to see you again? If that is the visceral feeling that you have post-date, like, I can't wait to see this person again, that's a good sign. But if you are just like, don't fucking call me. Like, that's not.
No, why waste your
listen
time?
Listen to your gut, man.
Yeah, why,
listen
don't
to
waste
your
time.
Intuition. Yeah, don't waste your time. Hi, who's this?
Challenge accepted, Anna. You said I can't offend you. I just passed a Rivian truck. That's got to be fucking ugly as shit. Jesus, that's got to be the ugliest vehicle I've seen
on
the road yet.
Isn't Kevin getting that
truck? Thank you, John, for bringing my estrogen levels to a much higher level. I just thought maybe I'd bring in a little testosterone. First of all, this guy that you're, I don't know. First of all, I think it's kind of, it's kind of immature to just kind of ghost people. That's just how I feel being ghosted.
Okay.
It's kind of like grow up and just say fuck off. That being said, I think that guy is a little bitch. He sounds like a pussy and he just kind of, I think I would be like, not interested, thanks. If I said anything at all, you might be right. I'm a ghosted. Fuck it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But to me, it seems like, I don't know, just why can't people just be like, I'm not interested. Sorry. Not feeling it. Whatever.
Because then, like Blitz said, that kind of, that seems like you're, that makes me look like a bitch.
Yeah.
And then it invites, what if he says, well, I don't want to be a bitch. I just feel like this is kind of the kindest, gentlest, hey, I'm not responding. Get the picture.
Yeah.
I guess so.
Which it's not, but the thing is, had he said something else other than "Are you ghosting me?" That's like a bitch question.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would actually say had he said something different, then I would say reply. But the like "Are you ghosting me?" thing is just him being a bitch, and like I wouldn't even like that doesn't even deserve a reply. That's kind of how I feel.
So after you read his messages, like you said thanks, and then he said, you know, A B C D and E. What?
Yeah.
First of all, fuck you, dude. Because like, all right, enough already.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, you're being a bitch, but I really think it's much, like the responsible thing to do. Just be like, not feeling it, because I, you know, as someone who's been ghosted recently, it's fucking, it's like
it sucks.
Can you just be like, listen, fuck, you know, not into it.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what you really got to say, and then whatever.
Here's the thing, though, Iggy. Like, I considered like breadcrumbing it, which I think is actually more painful, because then if you respond, you're like, yeah, my day was great. And then he texts back, and then you wait 2 days, and then you say something, and then he says something, and then you wait 4 days. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's way worse.
That's way worse, because you're kind of like dragging it out, whereas I just decided I'm going to just completely not respond, and then hopefully he'll get the picture.
So if you go on a date
and
you haven't heard from the person you went on a date with in fucking 2 days, just delete their fucking number. I mean, clearly. What are you even bothering for?
No,
you didn't feel it enough to be like, hey, had a really good time. Thanks for whatever. Maybe
and there was a little bit of that
tomorrow.
Said, like, right after the date, you know.
That same day? Or
yeah, like that night I was like, get home safe. Text me when you get back, because it just seemed like the right thing to say. Then I went home and fell asleep, you know.
Okay.
And didn't get the text. But I just feel like, and then when he wished me, you know, have a great time in California, I said thanks, and then that was it. But I just, I don't know. I wasn't feeling it.
Yeah.
I wasn't feeling it.
He must have liked you at least enough to want to, you know, want to hit it or something, whatever, to keep you
along,
at least to ask you more questions.
Yeah, my rudimentary kind of reading on the situation was that he doesn't get out much.
Right. That's kind of what it sounds like.
Yeah. You know, he doesn't get out much. He wears slides to a first date. Doesn't get out much. He lives, you know, with pops right now. He moved to Florida 2 years ago. He's working crazy hours where he doesn't have a social life, and he's going to bed at like 8 p.m. on a Saturday. So he doesn't get out much. So for him, this was like a bigger deal just because he doesn't get out
much. Right.
I would also like to say that I agree with the real John from Naples. The first day I met his wife, I wanted to fuck her too. I'm just kidding, buddy. Sorry. Said that in chat. My bad. If you're not feeling it, like when you first meet somebody, what the fuck are you doing? You're wasting
exactly.
Your time.
So to think that I should like go out again and again, which I know is odd to say because my last relationship was like that, but I was, at least I was like, I was physically attracted to him, but I was thought he was awkward.
Pickeroon 2001 just donated, I think, 20 subs.
Yeah, thank you very much. Sure. So ten I think subs, I'm just going to continue continue the ghost and see. Now I feel like a bitch for not responding because he's calling me out on not responding, so I feel like I have to do the opposite, you know? But I think that you're right. I think Blitz makes a great point that there's no way I can win because then he's going to be like, why did you tell me to contact you after, you know, after you got back from California? Yeah. Why would you say that? It's like, because I didn't want to fucking talk, because I'm a pussy, okay? Because I'm a coward,
Jesus
bitch!
Christ.
So, you know.
Good God. All right, have a good week.
All right, bye,
Iggy.
Keep
your
nonsense. Have I offended
you
yet?
No.
What did he say?
Unfortunately, no. He asked if he offended you yet.
Oh, no, not yet. No. You're good. Bye! What did he say that made me really mad that one time? Oh, when he told me that, like, there's something with dating. He's like, oh, this is all you talk about, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Again, when I know it's Iggy, then you can kind of, like, mentally prepare yourself to be, you know, upset by something, and then you're actually not.
Right.
That's a good way to get in front of your emotions, folks, is like, mentally prepare, like, this is going to be uncomfortable.
Right. And then when it's not, you're like, hey, that was good. Even though it was just like, whatever.
Yeah. Like I mentioned earlier, I started taking Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu almost like 3 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a sub-in teacher on Wednesday because the professor was unavailable. He had a personal emergency. So this chick who is a fucking, she knows Tara, actually.
Okay.
She's a bad bitch, dude. She's a brown belt, and she was just like, when she was doing a demo on this guy, she was kind of flexing.
Sure.
She's like, you know, and then you do this, and then you could do something like this, and then everyone's like, whoa, crazy. But she said something that was really interesting. She was giving a lot of advice, like life advice and also Brazilian jiu-jitsu advice, but it can kind of, they overlap.
Sure.
It's like a metaphor for life. She was like, get comfortable being uncomfortable,
mm-hmm.
which I say all the time, like nothing grows in the comfort zone.
Yeah,
just get comfortable being like, this feels off. Like, I don't feel like I'm standing on 2 feet. So at the end of the class, we roll with each other, and that's not drugs. That's a different, I used to do that kind of rolling. Now I do, you know, BJJ rolling, but I was rolling with this girl and she was definitely a grade better than me. She's still a white belt, but a grade better than me. She knew some moves. Her husband is also a blue belt. So he can like help her with shit. And she got me in a few uncomfortable positions, you know?
Right.
Where she's trying to choke me the fuck out.
Nice.
And she's, like, taller than me, but very slim and strong, obviously, because she was about my size. And what that woman told me, like, relax. Like, even if someone's trying to choke you out, you don't have to start flailing around, like,
don't freak
breathe.
Out.
And I started doing that. I was just like, breathing through it as best as I could breathe through it.
Yeah.
And then you go, okay, let me assess the situation. What arm of hers is available for me to grab? Or like, what leg, what move can I do? Like, you don't have to be in a panic. You know what I mean? You can kind of just be comfortable being uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot where I was completely going with this point, but I feel like that's a metaphor for life, or I don't know, with dating, ghosting.
Sure.
I don't know where I was going with that, but just being comfortable. Being uncomfortable is kind of the way to go. Maybe, what was I talking about? Was it because of the, I honestly don't even remember. What did I say about?
You're talking about, I would assume you're about dating and stuff.
I don't know. Just being uncomfortable with the situation and just kind of moving through it and controlling your reaction to things. I think that's where it is. Oh, yeah. It was like with Iggy. You know, you can kind of prepare yourself and breathe through it and not just trying to react. Because you can always control your reaction to things. You can't control what other people do, right?
Absolutely.
So if Iggy is calling and I'm like, can't control it, he's calling me, I have to prepare myself. And then you're able to react a lot differently than if you just let yourself go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, same thing with being ghosted, I suppose, right? Like, you could just get mad. It seems like he's mad with me now. And here's the thing, like, I know. And it's one of those things, like, I feel like I'm kind of a people pleaser, but I pretend like I'm not, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I go, like, I don't give a fuck. And then, like, after the show's over, I'll be like, Blitz, I feel really bad.
Yeah.
What should I do? He's going to hate me. Yeah.
This guy who you'll never talk to or see again will be on your mind for, like, a week because you didn't reply to him.
But here's the thing, though. There's, like, very few people. I'm not bragging, but there's very few people in my that I've had interactions with in my life that fucking hate me. Mm-hmm. Like, there's people that maybe don't care for me. That's fine. I get that. Mm-hmm. But, like, that truly think I'm an evil human being. Like, right. truly, truly. I know you say that a lot, but, like, who truly mean it?
Of course I don't.
And, yeah, I don't. And there's, like, I think I've mentioned before that, like, I went on a date in Michigan. This was, like, 7 years ago, and mm-hmm. I tried to do a switch. Like, me and my girlfriend went out with this guy and his friend.
Okay.
And I was supposed to be with this guy, Michael. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And my friend was supposed to be with this guy, Jason.
Michael.
And we switched. And I wanted to switch because I liked Jason and she liked Michael. And everybody was on board with the switch except Michael.
Okay.
And I ended up, like, throwing up at his house because I drank too much. It was just a mess.
Oh.
And I brought lunch to his law office in Detroit. I was almost murdered by two gangsters in an elevator, but I took the chance.
Okay.
And I left a note and I said I was sorry and I thought for sure I'm gonna get a response and he'll just forgive me.
Mm-hmm.
Ghosted me. Nothing.
To this day you're waiting for a reply?
Yeah, yeah. He ended up, I think he responded to something that I did like 2 years ago on Facebook and I was like, we're good now. 5 years later, we're good, you know?
Oh my God.
But yeah, and since then he's married and I think he has a child, but he comes to Sarasota often with his wife.
Nice.
And I'm like, all right, I'm going to avoid Siesta Key this week. But yeah, I still feel bad about that because it was such a shitty thing to do to like ignore this guy and try to talk to his friend and have my friend talk to him. And mm-hmm. he was just like, what the fuck is going on? Like, it was just super shit. And I'll never forget you, Michael. And I'm really fucking sorry that I treated you like shit. Just, I was young, dumb, and not full of cum, but still, you know.
Too bad.
Feel bad. Sorry. Hi, who's this?
Hey, as far as your date goes, fuck that guy and fuck Tampa Terry. Florida Stanley's out.
What's his name?
Who?
This guy, the
Tampa Terry?
Florida what? Stanley, what's his name?
Phil?
You said it the other day.
Phil?
Okay. Kyle.
Kyle.
You said it the other day. I don't know. You were like, thanks, Kyle.
Oh, well, it was on, like, Facebook, so it was his real name.
Oh, okay.
And then it said under that, he, like, gave 1,000 stars, and it said, like, the real Florida Stanley.
Oh, okay. I was wondering why. You said that. I was like, wow, you know the guy's name.
No, it was just because it was on Facebook. I'm pretty sure we called it the 314 Bob Army Grunt. If I didn't,
nope,
there
didn't.
It is again. Okay, cool. But, yeah, I mean, that's. I feel like that's kind of all I have in store today.
You going to go trick-or-treating this weekend?
Dude, I wish I was a normal girl. I feel like Halloween is such a cool holiday, and I haven't done it in a decade.
Yeah, I don't really do anything.
I don't do it. Here's the thing. This is how I feel about Halloween. We'll end on this, but Halloween to me is good in theory, right? It's like a, obviously it's a seasonal holiday. You're about to plunge right into the holidays, but mm-hmm. It's low key. You don't have to buy anybody a gift. You don't have to go and prepare dinner for anybody mm-hmm. and bring a dish or any. It's like low key. If you're a girl, you get to dress like a hoe and you get a free hoe pass.
Yep.
You know, you could literally dress in fucking nothing and you're like, I'm a nurse.
You're okay.
I'm a cop.
Yeah.
Maybe not a cop. Don't do that one this year. But, you know, you could just dress like a hoe. Yes. You could have fun, just slut it up. You drink and in costume and mm-hmm. it's kind of fun. And I get that. And I feel like and maybe it's because I'm poor and I feel like I don't want to buy a costume I will literally wear one time forever.
Right,
it's like a wedding dress sort of a thing. So maybe that's it. And also I haven't been going, I feel like the Saturday of Halloween weekend or whatever one is falls closest to the actual day is just a shit show.
It is.
It's a shit show. It's amateur hour. It's, you're just, instead, it's St. Patty's Day, but you're dressed up like a slut.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you probably are also dressed like a slut if you are a hoe on St. Patty's as well, but I'm
wearing slides.
Yeah. It was really the slides. It was really, guys, it has nothing to do with anything else. The touching, the storytelling, the not joke getting, that was fine.
The 10-minute wait between, hey, are they playing this song to when he saw
you? I swear to God, he's like, are they playing Blue by the Blue
Bit?
Yeah, yeah, by Blue Man. I'm like, yeah, that's it. I'm like, yeah, you're here. And then I was like, imagine like being fucking like, all right, 3, 2, 1, blast off. And then you're just like.
Yeah.
7 minutes later, I was so fucking confused. I was like,
that's weird.
Do you want me to come outside? What? And he's like, I'm here. And
that's
I'm
weird.
Like, okay. Like, there was just this. And then even just the initial hug was just mm-hmm. like perfectly paralleled the conversation prior. It was just so fucking awkward and like robust.
Yeah.
And then I remember, like, casually looking down. I'm like, are those fucking slides?
Oh, Jesus.
I was pissed. I wasn't pissed, but I was just like, really? That's what you think
of me?
I
didn't mean to bring that back up. I'm sorry.
That's what you think
of
me?
I'm going trick-or-treating.
Slides. Yeah, I think I went trick-or-treating. When was the last time you legitimately went? Because I was way too old, but I was also a fucking loser. Go ahead.
I want to say, like, I mean, I think I stopped like 10 or 11, and then I think like I went one time when I was like maybe 15 or 16, like as a joke, a bunch of friends went out.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. I mean, it's obviously like if I had kids, like it'd be fun with a kid.
Of course.
Yeah. Like that would be fun.
Yeah. I did it way too long. But again, I feel like I had an extended childhood.
Yeah.
Because I was a loser. I didn't have a boyfriend in high school. Okay. Not have a date. You didn't have a boyfriend either?
No, I did not.
I never went to a dance and had a date.
Okay.
I almost did one time, and then the fucking asshole asked somebody else and pissed me off. Stupid Gabriel Chavez Daiho. So I never had a date to a dance. I never kissed a boy.
Okay, me either.
You didn't kiss a boy either?
Nope.
I didn't kiss a boy until I was 18 and in college. Ooh.
I still have it.
I kissed a boy and I liked it. Yeah, that was a terrifying moment. We'll get into that another time. But so I felt like, I wasn't like sheltered. Like my parents weren't like, she can't know about
this. Yeah, yeah.
But I was just a fucking kid. Mm-hmm. Even as a teenager, like I just felt like I was, you know how they do those
and
things.
And even now that you're almost 40, you're still like an 8-year-old.
Exactly. Yeah. Correct. I'm actually moving backwards in time. But do you see all these things on like Instagram where it'll be like, teenagers now versus when I was a teenager.
Yeah, yeah,
and the teenagers now are like these like hot, they look like your stepmom, like their tits are out and they fucking makeup is on point. Yeah. And then when I was a teenager, like we all had fucking braces, we had like scrunchies with like the butterfly clips, you have like glitter just on our fucking face, like just painted on.
If
like
you
this.
Find those Instagram posts, by the way, forward them to me.
You mean of me or?
No, of the hot teenagers.
Yeah, I will. You sick fuck. But yeah, but that's like a perfect...
Yeah.
Because kids are so much younger now when they become sexualized.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like when I was a teenager, 13, 14, 15, you were just kind of like a nerd. You're wearing like maybe a spaghetti strap or like a collared shirt you got from Abercrombie and Fish or Hollister or something like that, you know. But now it's like these girls in their fucking, in their bodycon, skin tight dresses with their tits hanging out. And you're like, you're fucking 15.
There was a girl at the hotel I saw when we were up in Fort Walton. And I was talking to Bubba about it. I'm like, look, I was like, she was like checking me out and she was like, she started talking to me. And I told Bubba, I was like, I literally like turned around and left. I was like, cause I didn't know if she was 15 or like 30. Like I couldn't tell. So I was like, I'm out of here. Was she white?
Yeah. Is that a dumb question? Cause everyone there is white.
I mean, she was white.
Okay. Okay.
But yeah, I was like, I don't know if you're 15 or 30. So I literally was like, I'm out.
Not going to jail over this.
Yeah,
no. Yeah, but like teenagers were teenagers when I was a teenager,
sure.
If that makes sense. Sure. And now it just seems like you're a child and then all of a sudden you're just a sexual being.
Like, when did that happen? Like,
you know, because it's social media.
Well, of course.
You know, because you'll see these things of these teenage girls like taking these really suggestive photos in bikinis.
Mm-hmm.
Like, fucking never.
Yeah, it's
so
gross, let me tell you.
Well, I mean, like,
as a
kid, I never fucking was like, hey, take this fucking picture of me with my...
Yeah.
Tits in quotes out, you know, ass out. It was just kind of like, you'd be like all huddled. This is how we took pictures. Like, huddle together.
Right.
Yeah. Bunny ears. Like, that was
I still
friends.
Do bunny ears. Come
on. Right.
I did it. There was some Bob Army guy taking a picture at Kevin's thing. We took a picture. I said, I'll take another one. And the girl did. Oh, I think it was Mike. Mike always calls in.
Yeah, okay.
And so I was like, take another one. I did bunny ears thing. I'm like, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what I did as a teenager. So now it's just kind of crazy. But I wish that I had a normal female brain sometimes because I think it would be fun. Mm-hmm. For example, like seasonally decorating.
Yeah.
Right? Like, have you ever been, I'm sure you have, you go into a home and whatever season, whether it's Easter or Thanksgiving or Christmas or Halloween, and you go and the house is like decorated in theme and it's just like a cool experience. You just walk in, you're like, oh, this is like nice.
I have a pumpkin spice candle.
Hey, that's more than me, man. But normal women enjoy that sort of thing. They like the arts and crafts. They like decorating things seasonally. But
I kind of like that. I don't do it, but I like it.
Exactly. But that's the point is like I like it and I don't do it because I'm in my brain, which is broken. I go, you're creating a mess that you later have to clean.
Yeah.
for no real reason other than to go, oh, a spider web.
Well, like, that, and then you like, it. I don't care about the buying the shit. It's like, but then you gotta store it all year for like,
right.
You gotta put it somewhere for to be used for like a month.
And then you take it out again, and it's just like a witch. Like, you know, it's not, yeah. If it was something that you were, like you made a mess because you were cooking, like at least you got a meal out of
yeah.
it. This is just, you're what, are you gonna stare at, you know, the fucking...
Right. I almost bought
skeleton,
like, they have,
on the wall.
I was at one of the home stores. I forget whatever.
Home Goods or something.
I think it was Home Goods. Or maybe it was At Home. And they had like this really cool like holiday wreath thing. I was like, that'd be kind of cool to put on my door. I'm like, but then what the fuck am I going to do with the rest
right.
of the year? Like it's like clearly like a fall like holiday wreath. Like it's not yeah. like I'd have to take it down before Christmas because it's not even good for Christmas. And it's like
it's a harvest season thing.
Yeah, it's like, and I'm not going to throw it away because it was like $40 or $50. I'm
yeah.
like. No, I was like, no.
Right. So, but I just wish that I enjoy, because I enjoy the experience of being in the presence of that sort of stuff when yep. I go into a home and there's a yep. beautiful Christmas tree.
Sure.
I fucking love that shit. I love Christmas. I
yeah.
fell in love with Christmas last year, I believe. Is that another?
Did. Yes,
Bob Elmer Grunt, 314, 214, can't see.
214.
I fell in love with Christmas. It is a fucking yep. beautiful holiday. I mm-hmm. love the decorations. I always have. I'm just allowing myself to love it now.
Right.
And it's not because I was Jewish or anything like that. It's just because I was, you know, a curmudgeon, a piece
right.
of shit. Now I'm, you know, I'm blossoming a little.
Mm-hmm.
My friend Aaron took me to see all the lights at the rich people's houses last year. And I enjoyed that thoroughly.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I was like, oh, she's like, you got to go down this street. I'm like, okay. We're like in the car listening to Christmas music.
So that's like the...
I know you did that growing up, but I didn't.
Oh no, I still. I mean, yeah, we still do it. Like my yeah. mom does it. So like she loves taking my brother's kids out.
Yeah.
And like show, so the new thing now is the inflatable stuff.
Yeah, I've seen.
And
that.
They love that stuff.
Really?
So they try to. I think it's tacky.
I think it's tacky too.
When I was growing up, it used to be the cheap plastic figurines, and those were horrible.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. Now it's like the yards that have like 800 of the inflatable. They call them blow ups.
Yeah,
800 blow ups in the yard. Like that's kind of cool. But
it is, and I did, and I remember my parents. You know, even though we were Jewish, we'd go look at Christmas lights. Like
okay.
there was a neighborhood where it was like
that's
known,
what they did.
And they decked it out, yeah, and they'd yeah. give away hot chocolate and
yeah.
shit. And that's cool. Like it,
okay.
it was really, really fun. So I feel like I've always kind of liked the sentiment of the season and the holiday, and I have no problem with like people saying Merry Christmas to me. Like if you get offended by that. You're not going to make it very far in life. If you think that that's a microaggression because the special needs Walmart greeter who's 85 said Merry Christmas and you want to file a complaint.
Oh, I know.
You're not going to make it very far in life. And you should probably end it sooner rather than later.
So, yeah. It's funny, too, because I like at Walmart, I get a lot like the God bless you type stuff like from the
yeah.
from the cashier. And I'm like, whatever. I don't care. I'm like,
for
1 second, I'm like, hey, you shouldn't be saying that. I'm like, who cares? I just say thank you and
yeah.
just go, like, who cares?
Yeah. Like
if it makes them feel better, I don't care.
Yeah. And I know that we talked about microaggressions today and stuff like that and how that's a problem for people. But honestly, truly, like you think about the things that people are going, like there's a genocide going on in China.
Mm-hmm.
Against the Uyghurs, you know, the people in Yemen have been starved by their own people. Like the civilians in Yemen have a cholera outbreak. The children are like 11 children die every minute in Yemen because they don't have enough food,
yeah.
right? They don't have medical supplies. And the fact that you got upset because somebody asked you about your hair,
right?
Because you're a black person, or if someone says Merry Christmas and you're a Jew. And that upsets you and you feel like you need to talk to somebody about it, you're not going to make it very far in life. You're just not.
Mm-hmm.
So if that bothers you and you just can't really stomach it, then like just end it. Just end your life.
No, we can't say that.
I'm kidding. Don't end your life. Don't do it. But seriously, like reconsider, you know, what you find important.
That's
because the thing
fair.
That's really going to get you through life, especially when you're going through a hard time, is you think about all the other things that people have had to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
And especially, you know, even in this country, sure, with COVID and people who have died and cancer and heart disease and shit like that. But even more so in other countries where just they don't even have basic shelter, food and water. Like they
right.
don't know where the next meal is coming from.
Yeah. And they're used. I mean, like they're still on like the iPhone 4.
Yeah. Lame.
God.
They're shitting in a hole in India. Mom has leprosy. Dad has been shot dead by a gang.
And they only have the iPhone 4.
And they only have the iPhone 4. I mean, what a tragedy.
They're not even on 5G yet.
So lame. But yeah, so that's really the best way to kind of get yourself out of a bad headspace is be be grateful for what you do have and think about all the people in the world that don't even have anything close to what you have. So you can bitch and complain about living in America and all the microaggressions and somebody looked at you the wrong way and blah, blah, blah. But boy, are we lucky.
And
boy, are we lucky.
Everybody watch out for the weed candy and the razor blades and the razor blades in the candy and all that stuff that never happens.
Weed candy. Do you know how expensive those gummies are?
Exactly.
What kind of schmuck would be giving those away for free to kids?
That's what I've always said.
And it's like you can't even fuck the kid if you're a pedophile. You know what I mean? Like, I can kind of get it if you're trying to...
They leave your house. They don't stay there.
Right. Like, if you're a pedophile...
By the time they're high, they're at home.
And you're trying to fuck a kid and you want to, like, get him high. Like, the kid, it's a sleepover. But it's not even that. You're just giving them...
Yep.
The weed candy, and then they go home with their parents? Yeah, that's not happening, folks. Think. Use your brains.
I've got plans for the weekend.
Me too. I'm going to do stuff. I'll let you know what they are.
Sunday is going to be a lot of fun, actually.
Is it?
It will be.
Nice. I plan on doing a whole lot of nothing. This week has been kind of crazy.
Yeah.
I'm getting my sleep confidence back, so that's pretty good. Thank you so much. I slept last night with zero drugs.
Whoa.
No Xannies. Not even any melatonin. Like, it was just straight. It was just me, baby.
Whoa.
Straight me. So, yeah, not trying to brag, but getting it back, baby.
I'll be doing drugs all weekend.
Yeah, have fun doing drugs with your friends. Have a safe Halloween if you want to get fucked up. Don't get raped, or, you know, try not to. It's best for your ability.
I'm gonna try to get raped. What are you talking about?
Well, whatever. You can't rape the willing. Remember
true,
that.
True, yeah.
My grandma always told me you can't rape the willing. R.I.P. Bubby. Have a great weekend, guys.
See
goodbye.
You Monday.